Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. And I am Pam, your host. I almost said Take Two Radio Music. Go ahead, laugh, David.
I'm laughing quietly.
I did that show earlier today, and it's just still on my mind. So I'm getting the confusions when I start shows these days with doing so many of them. So anyways, if you haven't figured out, listeners, my co-host today is David. Hello, David. I hope you're having a good day.
So far, yes.
Good, that's now.
Oh, thank you. Who are you with? It just says Pam.
This is Pam, and I have David, my co-host, with me.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi, Jennifer. It's nice to meet you again.
You too.
So how has your day been going?
Well, I'm getting ready to go to Italy. A movie that I did is nominated for Best Film at the Milan Film Festival. So I've been out getting two red carpet evening gowns to wear at the red carpet in Milan.
Wonderful.
And I'm just ready to take a nap now. I hate going shopping for clothes. I'm not shopping. They loaned us the dresses. But it's exhausting trying on dresses. I don't know why it's exhausting, but it is.
Well, first of all, congratulations. And second, you're welcome. I'm one of those people that do not like to go out shopping and trying clothes on at all either. I must be just strange for a girl. I'd rather have the things come to my house and try them on at my leisure. But for you, I would imagine when they bring it in.
And have the limo take us home.
Right?
Yeah, and limo all the clothes to us, yes, darling.
Yeah.
And then have the alteration people come in.
That's right.
That's true.
Well, nothing's about us.
Well, what movie was nominated?
I did a short film about a woman dying of inoperable brain cancer. They misdiagnosed her for about 10 years. It's a true story.
Oh, wow.
She's about hanging on to her life because her daughter's visa, the girl who plays my daughter, is Melanie Martin. She produced it, she co-wrote it, and she co-starred with me. And she's trying to get to Canada to say goodbye to her mother, who's got about 10 seconds to live. And her visa's expired, and it takes her 10 or 2 weeks to get there. So the mother is hanging on by a thread, and she promises the daughter, "I will hang on for you." Meanwhile, she's crawling down the sidewalk, and they think she's a drug addict, and they give her the wrong medication, and she almost dies, and she's hallucinating, and she's breaking up all her apartment and furniture and sobbing and screaming, and oh, my God. So it's like, and then they induce a coma, and my daughter finally makes it, and I wake up, and we get to say goodbye, and then I get to die. Of course, all actors love to die, so I get to die.
Yeah.
It was really great. We had a great time. Anyway, we were one of 9 films nominated for Best Short. And, you know, when you realize, we got a letter from Sundance last year. It said we had 11,600 submissions in the short film department.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know how many thousands of submissions they got, but we're in, and we are so excited about it.
Oh, and you should be. It sounds like a great movie, even if it's a short. I don't care. That's something I'd want to watch.
It's very Fellini-ish because, you know, I fall into a black swimming pool screaming underwater, and I kind of levitate off the bed, and then I'm walking in a strange forest, and there's a big 9-foot, 10-foot high at night, and there's this 10-foot high white door with all this white fog streaming all around it, and I look through the keyhole, and I hear the hospice nurse. I see myself sleeping, and I see my daughter, and I hear the hospice nurse say, "We had to induce a coma because your mother was too violent, so she may not wake." My daughter says, "She'll wake up." And I open the door, and I go into the room and go back into my body, and then I open my eyes and say, "Is it really you?" And she says, "Yes, Mama, it is," and we get to say goodbye.
That brings tears to my eyes just hearing that. I mean, I know probably most of the listeners have gone through an experience of seeing someone, you know, pass, and you always hope that you get to say that final goodbye. So.
Oh, yes. Thank God my husband did not go that way, but I got a medium in New York who is absolutely, she's got one foot in the other world.
Mm-hmm.
Even when she was 5 years old, she said to her grandmother, "Granny, do you see that man over there? And her grandmother said, Roxanne, there isn't a man over there. She said, oh, I see a man. And then she didn't see anything. She thought, well, I can see a man, and my grandmother can't, so there must be something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she realized as she was growing up, she saw spirits and people who had passed all her life, but nobody else saw them. And then she started talking to them. And so when I got to her, I talked to my husband, who didn't believe in the afterlife. He
mm-hmm.
didn't believe in anything, and he was telling me what happens when you die and how he was. And then we used to have a running gag, because he was 23 years older than me,
mm-hmm.
and he'd just say, oh, baby, I wish I'd married you before I married my first wife. And I said, darling, I was 5 years old.
Oh,
no. So the first thing she said to me was, he wants me to tell you that he wished he'd married you before he married his first wife.
Oh,
and
my
I kind
God.
Of like, first tears, and then I said, I was 5 years old. And she laughed, but I knew I was talking to him.
Yeah.
You know, because she couldn't have made, how could she have known this? She couldn't.
Right,
have.
Right.
So she calls me from New York. So she'll call me. This is years later, almost 4 years later. She'll say, Luther wants to talk to you. Can we do a reading on the phone? He woke me up the other day. He wants me to contact you.
Oh.
So, and she'll tell
I
me
love
things.
That
I'm arranging the next person in your life who's coming in. It won't be as good as us, but it'll be pretty good.
Oh,
okay.
So
I love it.
It was a miraculous thing to happen because he was, you know, these miracles happen, you know. And
oh, yeah.
Speaking of dying, in my first episode on Grey's Anatomy, you know, I thought my daughter-in-law was fine and then she had an aneurysm
mm-hmm.
and died. Oh, my God. You know, that
yep.
show is so unbelievably brilliant that I can't, they're incredible. And they have writers that all work together on the script. And then when you work, the whatever days you work, the writers are there on the set with you. And the writer came up to me and he said, that line is almost impossible to say. I said, yes, it is, but I'm making it work. He said, you shouldn't have to make it work. I'm going to rewrite that line for you. And I've got some more lines. I'm going to meet you in your trailer before you get dressed, and I'm going to give you some new lines. What a thing
how
to have the writers write on the
yeah.
That is so incredible.
Wow. And I watched
I
that episode
my,
of you on
I wish
Grey.
I all my children we had writers on the set.
Yeah. Yeah, would be nice, right? But I watched
yeah.
that episode of Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. with you on there, and you had some really hard scenes. I mean, my gosh, everybody was in comas and dying, and you were
oh,
just
listen,
crying
you
the
see
whole
what's coming
time.
Up. Oh, my God. I mean, it gets much more complicated. Oh, and I've got much bigger scenes to do in the second episode.
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy to hear that. And I want you to know that I never watched Grey's Anatomy only because it was always on at the same time that there was something else on that I wanted to watch. It was Desperate Housewives, as a matter of fact, when it first came on, Grey's Anatomy and Desperate Housewives were on at the same time. And so when I found out you were going to be on Grey's, I made sure that I watched it, so just so I could see you.
You know, I don't watch a lot of television at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never watched it, and I turned it on. I said, oh, my God, this is a fabulous show. And
it
I was
really
loving
is.
What I was seeing. And then I found out that 3 weeks ago, after 9 years on the air, they were number one in the Nielsen ratings that week.
Wow. What does that
tell
you?
Out, they beat American Idol.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I can't
so,
wait
I mean,
to
for
see
a show that
one.
Old, that
mm-hmm.
popular,
mm-hmm.
is pretty phenomenal.
Well, I know that just by watching that one episode, I want to see more. So I can understand how people have gotten, you know, addicted to it.
Well, what other show has a one-legged lesbian? I mean, I don't know any shows that have a one-legged lesbian. You know, and Kate Capshaw's daughter plays, Jessica Capshaw plays a one-legged lesbian.
Oh.
And what a role.
Yeah.
And, they write really, really, really wonderful things for their stars. I mean, because we're all there to support their stars.
Right.
Right, yes.
Kevin
yeah.
the Kid is, oh, God, what an angel he is. He directed the next episode that I do and starred in it. Darling, at the end, he was so tired he could barely walk.
Aw.
I mean, directing and did you realize you were going to have such a big part in this episode? He said, no, I did not. You know, but it's, you know, I get into more trouble in the next episode, and I'm struggling with my relationship with my grandson. And, you know, it's really, really, it's juicy stuff. You guys are going to like it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm definitely going to be watching. Now, I wondered, how do you make yourself cry like that for, like, a whole episode? That's got to be hard.
But, you know, I when I was on All My Children, I would tell people, they said, well, how do you really win an Emmy? I said, well, if you can do Dead Baby at the Grave brilliantly, you can win an Emmy.
Oh.
Said, what do you mean a dead baby? I said, if your baby, not really, but if your baby in the show dies, it's all it's not real, and you get to go to the grave and start crying, that's how you win an Emmy. They love Dead Baby at the Grave. I happen to do Dead Baby at the Grave brilliantly. That's what I do. It's one of my specialties. So, and crying, you know, my mother, and my grandmother was an opera singer and an actress, and my mother, it skipped a generation, but she could have been an actress. My emotions are ready to pop out of my skull. So if you put me in a situation that calls for crying, the tears just go, boom, you know, right out of me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't do that. I have to really think about something or watch something to make myself cry. And
well,
I
me too.
Yeah.
Well, why would you want to make yourself cry?
Well, only once in a while when I'm having, like, one of those days where I feel like crying, but it's not coming out, and I can't explain why I want to cry, but I'll listen
I'll
to some
you,
music
I'll tell you,
or something and do it.
If you want to, here's what people say. The little boy on the show, he said, how can you cry like that? Because I can't cry. I said, you've not lost anybody yet in your life, have you? He said, no, and you haven't lost a pet either, have you? He said, no. I said, you have a pet? He said, yes. I said, okay. 2 days before I started Grey's Anatomy, if I have a scene where I have to be crying at the top of the scene, at the very beginning of the scene, what I did and what I do is I go to the animal hospital and I see that cold metal table and I ask for a towel and we took Smokey, who we put to sleep about a month ago, on a blue blanket. And we held him, and he said, now the first shot's just going to be a sedative. And then we held on to him, and now you see how emotional he
is.
And then we injected him, and we held him until he stopped breathing.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, too. I know how hard that is.
I know.
Animals are like children. It's like losing
they are.
A little baby. Because if you open their can and feed them, they're yours for life. They never say, are you going to go out dressed like that when you get to the front door? You get no criticism from your animals as long as you feed them.
That's true.
You know, I mean, one of the cats here just ate two birds in the last 2 days. I think he found a nest. He ate the feathers even. And I was saying prayers for the soul of the bird as he was eating it while it was still fluttering a little. I said, oh Jesus. No, you're pathetic. You're a pathetic. And he wants me to tell him how good he is. I mean, because cats really want you to say, isn't that great? You got a bird? I don't think it's great. It makes me very depressed.
Oh, my gosh. I had a cat that did that. He used to be an outside cat at night, and he would come home in the morning, and my mom would let him in when she let my stepfather out for work, and the cat would come in, and he'd leave her something at her feet.
You know, like a mouse. You know, when my husband and I lived up in the Hollywood Hills, my cat Clark, Luther named, my husband named him after Clark Gable because he was very sexy, this cat. And Clark would come in and put a mouse at my foot because they want you to eat the mouse so you stay healthy.
Yeah.
They think they're giving you caviar, you know?
I know.
And
is
they
there
don't know.
Gift? You.
Makes us scream. I scream. I go, oh, Jesus, Clark, what the hell are you doing? You know? And then he looks at me like, don't you know that I'm giving you a mouse for Christ's sake? And I go, know what you're doing. I don't want it.
I know that.
You know, they are so funny. And they expect
they
it.
Are.
Instead of just, I mean, when he came in with the bird in the apartment, I said, Snow, you've got to get out of here. This bird, go on, out, out, out. So he ate it right outside the door so I could see through the grass how he was eating it.
Oh my gosh.
I know, darling. And they think and they're looking at you like, look, aren't I great? Look, I'm a real cat. I go, you know, he's 18 years old for an 18-year-old cat to get a bird. It's
that's pretty,
pretty
good. Yeah, that's pretty good. So yeah, we got to give him credit on that.
Yes, we do.
I have a feeling the nest fell out of the tree. I can't imagine.
No.
He found two birds in 2 days and killed them both and ate them.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets so much food as it is. It breaks me up. And then he ate one bird, the smaller bird, and he came in and asked for more food.
Oh.
I said, darling, you little piglet, you pig, you just ate a bird.
That was the appetizer.
They break me up.
Yeah, and we would never live our lives without them. I've been an animal
of all my children, and I go on Hulu and see it.
I'm very
excited for them. I heard from Francesca James, who's now acting on it. She used to produce it and direct on it, and she won an Emmy years ago as another character on All My Children. And she said, Jennifer, it looks just as good as it did on television. It looks wonderful. So
it
does.
It does.
I talked with the producer. All the information I can give you on All My Children is I just got an email from her. I emailed her and I said, I wish you and Agnes nothing but success. I hope it runs for years and send lots of love and everything. And I told her about Grey's Anatomy again, which I'd done before. And then I didn't know I had a third episode. And then I told her about the thing in Milan. And she emailed me back and she said, let me know when you return, because Colby could really use her butt kicked by her Aunt Marion, by her grandmother Marion. So hopefully it looks like they may be thinking of me, which is really nice, because there's nothing like going home after 30 years of working with the same people and seeing everybody.
That is so true. That is so true. It's just like us watching it. And as I was discussing with David earlier, that when we watched it last night for the first time, it was almost like watching it just from yesterday. You know, yesterday's episode just ended, not 2 years later. But then again, there was the new feel to it and the new characters and stuff like that. But we love our old characters. We want our core characters. And we'd love nothing more than to see you back on there.
Well, I'm going to give you my Twitter thing. If anybody wants to reach me, it's Jennifer Bassey 1, the number 1, because someone stole my name.
Oh, no.
On Twitter. They do that all the time, I was told by my girlfriend, who is on Twitter all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm on Facebook, but I never go on. Because, you know, I figure if I haven't seen you since I was 5, I don't want to see you. You know, I just don't. I mean, what are we going to say to each other?
Right.
You know, I mean, because I'm old, darling. I am O-L-D, old.
Oh. Well, I don't know how old you are, but I want to tell you that you are so beautiful that I would not even tend to guess your age.
I love you. Well, I've had two very good facelifts, darling.
Well,
two very good facelifts.
And I did
a good
job.
You got to reach
for... tell.
No, I know. That's why I've had very good facelifts. I mean, when you look at some people who shall remain nameless, some famous people who look like somebody else totally, you don't even recognize them.
That's so true.
You know, that's so-and-so. I go, no, it's not. They go, yeah, it is. I look at it. Well, what happened to her? What did they do to her?
You're right.
Her mouth is as big as it used to be, and her cheekbones are up in her forehead practically. And I go, well, what the? There are so, you throw a rock and you're going to hit a bad surgeon.
Right, right. That's true. Mm-hmm. You got to do a lot of investigating.
You have to see someone. I saw two people over the last 20-some years, and I knew who they'd gone to, and that's why I went to. And because they looked like themselves, only a little tailored. That's it. They didn't look like anybody else who they have always been. That, to me, is good surgery. But a lot of these, you know, quote, socialite doctors who are the in doctors, they make everybody look the same.
This is true.
There are two stars now that look the same. I get them mixed up, and they never looked like each other before.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it's pretty scary, darling.
there's a reality show, too, where they all look the same, and I bet they all went to one of their husbands, who is a plastic surgeon. They probably all went to him, so that's why. So I understand what you mean.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Not funny.
No.
No, definitely.
But you have another upcoming project called The Concerto.
Well, no, I did that movie. I did a movie called The Concerto in December with Jackson Rathbone, who's one of the stars of Twilight. He's been in all the Twilight movies. He plays Jasper something or other. I can't remember the last name. And he plays a ghost, and I play his fiance. Only it's 40 years later, and circumstances bring us together after 40 years. I'm now married to someone else. And the tears are pouring, and the love, and we have a seven-minute love scene, really. Only it's different because he's still 30, and I'm now 70. So it's different. Very big film. And then I have another film that I'm waiting to hear on called Black Hawks by the same director, which is going to start up sometime, I don't know, soon, I think.
Well, I can't wait to see these. These all sound great.
This movie, The Concerto, is a wonderful movie, and the director is fabulous. And Mark Teschner, who is the casting director at General Hospital, cast it. And last time I saw him, he said, I saw some footage, and he's doing a beautiful job editing it. So you know, maybe I won't have as many lines on my face as I think.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
Do you think it'll be out next year sometime?
I think God made two mistakes, aging and death.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Those are big mistakes.
Yeah.
You know,
but
it's like the line in Chorus. I met Jimmy Kirkwood years ago, and he wrote the book of A Chorus Line, and wrote the most famous comedy line of all time, and it's my favorite line of all time, and when he showed it to the director said, that's not funny, Jimmy. He wrote it for Kelly Bishop, an actress called Kelly Bishop. And Jimmy said, well, I think it's funny. And Marvin Hamlisch said, I don't think it's funny, Jimmy. He said, well, I think it's funny. Look, can't we just let her say it in the previews? I mean, you know, can we just let her say it? Okay. So previews came up, and he gave Kelly the line. And the line is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Young. That's it. It brought the house down in context with the character that she'd been playing the whole time. Brought the house down, an ovation. When older people, when I started out in this business in the 60s, and I did seven Broadway shows back to back till the 70s, we had old people, middle-aged people, young people. We had everybody, and we had mentors. We had people who said, oh, honey, you know, don't do that. You know, we had people to help out. Now your career out here is over at 30. You may as well jump off a tall building at 30.
No.
You know, because your career's over.
Yeah. Well, I do hope that changes relatively soon. I think that it has changed somewhat, but not as much as we need it to.
Well, what I'm finding stunningly surprising is we have more senior citizens in this country than we've ever had before. There are more senior citizens than any other group.
Right.
And they're not targeting seniors. So they think we don't buy anything. They're wrong. We do buy things.
Yes. Yes.
We are
the ones that are buying things for not only ourselves, but also our children, our grandchildren, and so on and so forth.
Children are struggling because the economy has been terrible. Kids get out of college and move back home.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's no place.
You know,
for it.
So it's different. It's a different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm stunned that the networks are not having more shows targeting senior citizens.
All right.
I'm working on a couple of shows that I'm going to pitch to somebody about seniors that I think will be very funny, because I think it's needed and I think there's an audience for it.
Sure. Everybody loves watching, you know, everything that Betty White does, and there's a lot of Betty Whites in this world.
Oh,
yeah.
Darling. There sure are.
Yep. So
absolutely.
I would say that would go over well. So whatever you're pitching, go for it. I'll watch it.
All right. I'll let you know. But anyway, we're off to Italy, and you know, and I, well, the girl that plays my daughter, okay, mm-hmm. she looks just like Angelina Jolie. So she said, "Now you've got to get a great dress to wear on the red carpet." I said, "Darling, if I was walking naked, no one would notice me anyway walking with you."
Oh.
So it doesn't matter what the hell I wear. I mean, she has a figure, darling, stops traffic. Long brunette hair, gorgeous, about 5'8", and built like you, you know, heads turn wherever she goes. So I said, "They're not going to look at me, Melanie. They're all going to be looking at you, and that's fine."
That's sweet. But you know what? People will still look at you because, like I said, you're beautiful, and there's a lot of older men out there, even some younger men that like older women, and you'll get looked at. Trust me.
We'll see. You know what? I'm not worried. I mean, I mean it, that she's so beautiful. I mean, I'm so thrilled that I've kind of adopted her. I'm like her mom. And we kind of have the same bone structures. So people always say, "Are you her mother?" You know, and I say, "Yes, I'm not."
No.
I played her mother in the movie, but we act like mother and daughter.
Right. That's a great friendship to have. It probably lasts quite a long time.
I think
it will. The rest of our lives, yes.
Yeah.
She definitely will outlive me, but yeah, absolutely.
Well, out of all the parts that you played, what one was the most fun to play?
I think the most fun was doing Dunstan Checks In, because I had a major scene with an orangutan, and I was on a massage table, and we had to shoot. All the segments the orangutan had been working on for 2 years. He was only 5 or 6 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now he's got to be 30 years old and full grown, like they grow to our height. And I have never laughed so hard in my entire life or enjoyed anything more. This orangutan was the best actor I've ever worked with, number one. Number two, he understood everything. There was no sign language. Somebody would say, "Sammy," because his name in the film was Dunstan, but in real life it was Sammy. They'd say, "Sammy," he'd look over at them. They'd say, "Move to your right an inch," and he'd do it. He'd say, "Come back half an inch," and he'd do it. And when I first met him, he came in diapers because he's 5 years old.
Right.
And as he was leaving, his back was to me. I said, "I didn't get to say goodnight to Sammy." He turned around, looked into my eyes, and went, and kissed me twice.
Oh, that's cute.
And he knew that I'd said that.
Aww.
You know, he understood everything we said to him.
That's so sweet.
I would say that's the most fun I've ever had. But the best job I've ever had was on my children, because it was on and off for 31 years. I mean, that was the best job I ever had. And the interesting part about playing a role for 30-some years is it's so comfortable that if you're off for 8 years and they bring you back, you know exactly who you are, and you've had a history of 20-some years before that, you know, whatever, with the characters you're working with.
Right.
It's like going home.
Right. And I'm sure you were one big family there, too, behind the scenes.
Very, very, very terrific group of people. Absolutely a terrific group of people. Couldn't meet a better group or more fun. So, yeah, all my children, it's funny. If anybody ever got on the show and they were not nice or causing trouble, they kind of were written off very quickly. You know, there was kind of like a thing. Most people would say, "Well, yours is the nicest show we've worked on, because when we work on some of the others, nobody talks to us. They treat us like we're not there when we have smaller parts. And you guys don't do that. You're all so nice to us." I said, "Well, why should we be anything but nice?"
Yeah,
you know,
there's no reason to be mean.
Yeah, our show. Well, not that they're mean. They just, you know, because you're not a regular, they're above you. That attitude, you know.
Right.
The same
on
Grey's Anatomy. Nobody looks down on anybody who is not a contract person. They, you know, welcomed me. And Patrick Dempsey, first of all, I think he's very sexy. And second of all, when I met him, I heard some noise outside my trailer, and I opened my door. Not to tell people to be quiet. I had to go talk to somebody about my contract. And he said, "Oh, are we making too much noise?" I said, No. I'm trying to go over to do something here." And I said, "Anyway, congratulations on your long run." He said, "Well, I've got to tell you, we know that we're lucky. We know how lucky we are." And he said, "Welcome," and blah, blah, blah. And I told him I played a nymphomaniac on all my children, and I would be losing the cast to him. know, during the thing, and he was laughing. But everybody on the show, Sandra Oh, everybody has been so nice. All was so nice to me.
That's so good to hear. I mean, it makes it so much nicer to go into work, you know?
That's right. You
and
want a friendly place to come into.
Yes, exactly. And when you do 3 weeks, you kind of know the guy at the gate. I asked him about his family by the third week. I knew about his children. You know, I kind of knew everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was a hard goodbye because I got a real taste at what it's like to be a primetime series regular, and it's really nice.
Yeah. Well, hopefully then you'll get a... You sound like you're just keeping busy all the time, and that's so good to know.
That's good to know.
Well, I've got to tell you, I'm sorry, David, what did you say?
It's good to know because you're not just sitting pretty and you're always active and on the go and you'll have things going on in your life. It's nice to hear.
Well, I have to tell you that after my husband passed away, I kind of had to reinvent my life. So I got out of New York because there were too many ghosts, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm,
every
mm-hmm.
corner had a memory, and
right.
I can't be here. So I kind of have jump-started my career. I got into some classes. I couldn't get arrested. I couldn't get an agent, so this didn't happen overnight. I worked really hard for the last 2.5, almost 3 years, to get the right agents, and I have a wonderful manager. And really make it work. And I really think if you hang in there and keep putting yourself out there, eventually it will work.
Right, and then one job leads to another, as you can see.
Well, exactly. I mean, when I talked to the director about the film, The Concerto, he said, by the way, my next film, you're right for my next movie. You're going to play a comedy character who has Alzheimer's. I said, great. You know, so it's like, you know, so... Yes, jobs lead to jobs. People get to know you, and they call you in for other things they're casting, blah, blah, blah. You know, it, that's how it works.
Well, we're getting a lot of Jennifer Bassey coming up. I'm very happy about that.
Yes, I am too.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to hooked up. I thought we were going to have to cancel.
Oh, I know. I was so worried about that myself because I really wanted to speak with you.
And the next episode is really juicy. It's really this writing is very heart-wrenching. Holy cow.
Yeah, it is. I mean, even as a fan for us to sit there, or a viewer to sit there and watch it, I mean, you guys make us cry all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When I tuned in for another plug for Grey's Anatomy, when I got the job, I turned on Grey's Anatomy, and I'd never watch it because I said, hey, I don't watch a lot of television. Not because I'm anti-Grey's Anatomy, I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a voracious reader, and so I turned it on, and this was the storyline. My darling, there were tears pouring down my face, down my face. This young man, like in his 30s, has a scene with his mother. And she said, please don't do this. He said, Mother, I've made up my mind. I'm going to do it. She said, please, please don't do it. He said, it's done. It's already done. Please accept what I'm doing. And as they're talking, and the father's there too, a nurse comes in and she said, one of your kidneys is going to a 5-year-old girl. The other kidney is going to a woman in San Francisco. Your liver is going to blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, oh, my God. So he says goodbye to his family. They give him an injection, and they come in and get all his body parts.
Aww.
Talk about a tearjerker, darling.
Aww. Yeah. Those are always so hard to watch, you know, but you do know that a lot of these storylines are based on real life, and that's what makes it even harder to watch.
Exactly, because what are hospitals about? Life and death.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right. Right.
I mean, they like to bring you to tears, and they do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And a lot of times, too, it's happy tears, too, you know, because it's a happy ending. So, well, for me, anyhow, mm-hmm. I'm a crier for that part, you know, happy or sad.
Yeah. As long as you are impacted, if you are impacted and you have a reaction to what you are watching, then whatever you're watching is good.
Right. Right.
and you did
your
job. Yeah, if you're feeling neutral, it's not good.
No. Mm-mm. No, I have
good.
To agree with you there.
Things have to impact you, and once you're impacted and involved and moved by it, that's good. That's good program. Good programming.
Most definitely. Well, I have one last question for you before we let you go take your nap and get ready for Italy, which I'm jealous of. But
thank you.
Is there something you'd like to do that you haven't done yet, or work with someone you haven't worked with yet?
Well, the person I always wanted to work with has been dead for a long time. Maybe I'll meet him up in the great, you know, the other room, I call when you die.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the other room. I always have wanted to work with Laurence Olivier.
Oh,
and we're going to get that chance. Is there something I haven't done? Well, I've never won an Academy Award.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
That would be a cool thing to do.
There you go. We're going to work on that.
I wouldn't mind winning an Academy Award. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Or even an Emmy.
Yeah.
I was nominated and I lost.
I lost.
It's nothing fun about losing, darling.
But at least you were nominated. There's a lot of people that aren't, so that's a good thing.
That's right. You can put that on your resume, any nominated person.
That's right.
Well,
Jennifer, we want to thank you so much for joining us today. I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you, and I will keep touch with you on Twitter and let you know when I get to watch these other scenes on Grey's and all of your upcoming movies.
Thank you, darling. Where are you guys located?
I am in Chicago, and David is in New York.
Yeah, I'm in upstate New York.
Chicago is my hometown, and New York is my second hometown.
That's right. We're fellow Chicagoans.
Well, my God. Yeah, Chicago has become one of the most beautiful cities in the entire world.
Oh. I don't get out to see it very much, but that's because I live here. You know, when the people come in from out of town and they discuss what they've seen and what they've done, I think, well, gosh, why haven't I done that yet?
Well, you've taken the boat tour of the river, haven't you?
No, I can't. I get seasick.
I'm shocked. You've got to do me a favor. You have got to promise me, because I've got to tell you, when I was growing up, my uncle drowned in that river in 1906.
Aww.
And that river was contaminated and full of just horrors. And all the buildings were factories, shutting off things into the river and making it more and more polluted and killing everything in it. And Mayor Daley, not the current, but the old Mayor Daley, decided to clean up that river. And they changed all the factories into condominiums. And you take a boat around that. It is so dramatically beautiful. It takes your breath away. You're going to want to live down there.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll get some Dramamine and do that one day with the kids. That would be a nice little family thing.
Okay, I didn't get sick, and I'm looking at boats, so you can do it. I've got to take this call. Love to you both.
Oh,
thank
love
you
to you as well, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us.
Take care.
A great trip. Have a safe trip.
Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I just love talking with her. Oh, my gosh. I could talk
my
all
God.
Day.
Yeah. I can listen all day, too.
You're right. Well, that, too. Yeah. More like listening, because she has so many great stories. I mean, can you imagine that all the things that she's done and all the people she's met and all the places she's been and still going.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Well, to
it's
all of our listeners, yes, to all of our listeners, please follow Jennifer on Twitter at Jennifer Bassey with the number one next to it, so that way you get the right one. And give her a shout-out. Let her know if you watched her on Grey's Anatomy or another show or another movie or something that she's got coming up, or just stop by to say hello to her. I'm sure she'd appreciate that. And, David, thank you so much for joining me today. We had a lot of fun getting this together, but thank God it finally came through.
I know. I had a lot of fun tonight, and I look forward to more with you.
Thank you. And everybody, make sure you follow us at Take Two Radio and Take Two Radio Crew. Everyone have a good night and God bless. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.